This podcast is brought to you by Mezcala Nursery, located at 6901 Orange Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90805. Mezcala, family-owned, family-ran since 2007. This place is my happy place, you guys. I'm there all the time. It's a giant piece of property full of greenhouses packed to the brim of everything you can possibly imagine, from your landscaping needs to houseplants to cactus and succulents. They even have a greenhouse solely dedicated to rare and obscure collector specimens. I'm talking, I've seen Monstera albos there. I've seen Thai constellations there. Rare collector specimens that I can't even find online, I find them there. If you head over to their Instagram, at Mezcala Nursery, they keep their stories updated daily of these plants that can come and go really quick. You could miss it. Make sure to go check it out. Not only that, they treat you like family. I bring my kids with me, you guys, and I always have an amazing experience. Such great customer service, so helpful, so knowledgeable, and prices that can't be beat. Bring them a price from another nursery, they'll beat it. Bring them a price from a big box store, they're gonna beat it. 6901 Orange Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90805. Mezcala Nursery. Tell them I sent you. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to If Plants Could Talk. This is Garrett. I'm your host. This conversation took place on May 7th, 2021, with my guest, Psychedelic Ninja. Marco joined us today as a fellow psychonaut, traveler of the unknown, full-time raver, glass collector, ethnobotanist, and vegan all day, as it says in his bio. Marco brought a ton of really good energy to the show. The conversation was super organic and it flowed, and I feel like we never ran out of things to talk about. We could have kept going probably for hours. It was really cool to connect with Marco. He and I have been conversing back and forth and sending plants and stuff back and forth for a handful of months now, but to see him face to face in the virtual world was really cool. And we get to talk about every topic I've ever wanted to cover on this show, and every topic that he and I had made a goal to cover on this episode. So I hope you guys enjoy. Here's Marco, Psychedelic Ninja, in the house.
Yes, sir. What's up, man? How are you doing?
Good, dude. How are you?
Good, man. Blessed. It's a beautiful day. Just, ready for this.
Yeah.
How you been?
I'm doing actually a lot better since the last time I talked to you. The last few days have been a little better. Taking better care of myself. Feeling a lot more motivated and positive today than I have in the last few days. It's been a difficult couple of weeks, but things are looking up, man. Where are you talking to me from? San Antonio?
Yes, sir. San Antonio, Texas.
All the way from Texas.
Yeah, it's pretty far out here.
It's amazing that the technology allows us to have this conversation, meanwhile documenting it on a podcast from completely different time zones.
Mm-hmm. Is it like 2 hours apart?
Yeah. It's funny because you're all Friday morning, and I'm like, okay, 11:30. And then you told me, okay, well, that's 1:30 our time. That's not morning at all. Whoops.
Yeah. I woke up and I'm like, oh shit, I'm already late. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta get ready. And I'm like, dude, I forgot the time zone. It's like,
So were you?
Yeah, man, I'm glad we're.
Go ahead.
My bad. I'm sorry. Go for it.
So were you born in San Antonio? Born and raised?
No, I'm actually from Nuevo Laredo, Mexico.
Oh, really?
We came over here. For my dad, actually, was a coyote, which is like smuggler, whatever you want to call it. He brought me and my mom over here while she was pregnant with my brother, and I was around 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then we just ended up in a bunch of houses, random houses, that we were raised or brought up in, and until we met my godmother, which actually took us in and just showed us how it was here.
So you were bouncing around a lot as a kid?
Yeah, from house to house, like whoever would take us in. My mom didn't have any family down here. We didn't know anybody besides my dad, but he was always here in Mexico, back and forth, doing his thing. And yeah, so
That's such a fun fact, man. I had no idea.
Yeah. Cool. Everybody sees me and they're like, "Oh, you're white. You don't look Mexican." I'm like, "No, well, I don't know. I guess everybody expects us to be a little darker, maybe. I don't know."
Yeah, you're fair skinned, and it's probably like Spanish blood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got. My mom's
from Mexico City.
Okay.
And like, you know, we have like deep roots in Mexico, like a couple in all of our families down there. But I wish I could go back. It's just not a very good time now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
One day.
Yeah, I love Mexico City just based on what I've seen, pictures. I've never been. I've been down to Mexico quite a few times, and like Rosarito and Tijuana. But like, we used to go down there for surf trips and stuff. But Mexico City looks beautiful. My sister got married there.
Oh, yeah.
Looks really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful out there. Just I want to go back.
Yeah. So where along the way did you find your love for plants?
I've always been I've always loved being around plants and nature in general, and just seeing how each plant, and some plant and cactus, like all kinds of plants, just have their own characteristics, their own way of growing and forming and showing their beauty to us, you know what I'm saying? And I've always had plants here and there. Just it didn't really get serious till this whole before the pandemic hit, maybe like a year and a half ago, or maybe 2 years actually. Just grew, and you know, to what it is now. And it's just, you learn something new every day, you know, from being online to research to just watching your plants grow every day. You know, it's insane.
Right. What drew you to Trichocereus? I know you got quite a bit of you got an impressive Trichocereus collection.
Oh yeah.
Get frozen, huh?
Man, that was horrible. But like I've always been into like entheogenic, like plant, you know, entheogenic plant medicines and like psychoactive plants and stuff like that. I've always been drawn to that psychedelic state of mind, like, and especially plants that like can do that for us, you know what I'm saying? Like show us they're planted here for some reason, and they're here to show us what we need to see in life to progress, you know what I'm saying? And the Trichocereus, like I've had one ceremony with it, and I mean it was pretty amazing, you know. It opened me up to what I love now and everything, and just the different hybrids and like kinds there are, like it's just, I don't know. But yeah, over the snow we got here a couple months ago, like I had like a 9-year-old Bolivian torch, like taller than me, that literally just flopped over, froze and flopped over, and like I didn't know what to say. I was speechless, like everything just gone, you know. And I was like, oh well, but I mean, what I could say if I saved, and you know, everything's growing, everything's going, you know what I'm saying? Like, can't complain.
Yeah, those images were devastating, man. You weren't the only one that I saw, and it just broke my heart. I was like feeling guilty even about posting my own plants that day, like the day that I first saw it. I was like, man, you know, what can we do to help these people? And everybody banded together, and I saw lots of donations go to all people all over your area. And it was so cool to see people come together like that, like really spoke to the strength of the community.
I like literally like cried, because like, you know, like you put so much time and effort and love and, you know, into these plants that you watch grow in front of you. And then like when something like that happens, it's just like, wow. Like, and every plant, it's never identical. They're all rare in their own way. Like they have their own little symmetric, like, you know, symmetry or whatever, like anything, like just to make it unique. And so I was like, I could get those plants again, but I can't get that way. You can't get it that way. You know what I'm saying? But,
right.
I was just like, when everybody, you know what I'm saying? When you helped me out and a bunch of other growers helped me out, I was just like, wow, man, like, I can't believe like these people I don't know on a personal level helped me out. Like that's love. That showed me right there about what the plant community was about. You know what I'm saying? Like what it could be, like people that don't have to help you do, you know what I'm saying? And we need more people like that in the world nowadays, you know, like that'll just help you without not even blinking. Just like, okay, cool. Like And I mean, yeah, it was just a beautiful thing. And I've never experienced that kind of love before. That's the way, like, took my breath away. And I'm just grateful for everybody that helped out. So thank you. And thank you for getting this.
I'm
glad. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad I could help. And, you know, Mezcala Nursery helped out as well. You know, Vic the Prick helped out. And there was a couple other people. I apologize if I forgot who else was involved. And I know you had other people obviously helping you too. And yeah, it really impressed me when I saw that. I already had that feeling with the community, but I didn't see it like in action like that yet, you know? And just seeing that there's a unique type of person that has a strong connection to nature for sure. But also they seem to be, you know, just the loving, generous type of person. And I similar to what you just said, I haven't had that kind of community in my life or been shown the kind of love that I see happening in this, which is strange, mostly online plant community, you know. Mm-hmm. We're like all connected through the internet, but at the end of the day, we're all, you know, out there caring and loving for our plants and our planet.
Yeah, like it's insane what, you know, but yeah, like just what you learn through the plant community, what you experience, the people you meet and talk to, like their stories, and it's just, it's a beautiful thing. Like you can't, it's, everybody's nice, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's about learning and trying to like help you out and teaching you their ways. It's just like, what else can you ask for?
Yeah.
And I mean, we like working with plants. So, I mean, it's, you know, we could just do that all day. I mean, I would just do that all day if I have to, if I could.
Yeah.
But
So bring me back to the beginning when you first, I don't know, maybe not when you were necessarily first drawn to plants, but when did you first start grabbing plants, like collecting plants?
I started right after, my last breakup, which was like almost like two years ago. Like I've always wanted my own garden, my own, you know, my own nursery. Like I wanted to work with plants, these sacred plants that I've always wanted to be around, you know, that I've heard of, that I've experienced and tried, you know, thing like that.
Right.
I for some reason I just couldn't do that with my partner at the time, I guess. But I guess that had to end in order for me to be where I'm at now. And like I didn't see that back then, nobody does, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like once that happened, like I didn't know what I was doing. I was kind of lost. And it's weird that it just led me to this plant collection. Like, and I just kept, that was the time in maybe like I think for like a good 3 weeks I just bought a couple plants each day, every day, and it was just like insane. And then they grew to what it was here. And then yeah, it was insane because I didn't know it was going to get, like, going to help me out in that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it took my mind off of every single thing that was breaking me down and, like, keeping me down, you know? Like, so it was, like, a stress reliever, mood enhancer. Like, I could literally talk to these fans and, like, care for them. And you didn't have to think about the rest of the world. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you're on your own. It's a meditation. That's what I always said. Like, it's being around these plants, it's medicine in itself, because you know, they make you feel better. Like, you take away your bad thoughts with just a little bit of like a little flower to just make your day go, you know, feel way better, like make you forget about your day. Just because, like, you know, it's just, you love these plants and you love working around them. Yeah, so it's a medicine in itself, just being around them and just collecting them and learning more about them. It's just
You found refuge in the plants.
Yeah, like something I have never felt before, you know what I'm saying? Like I didn't think anything was gonna make me feel better, you know what I'm saying? After something like that, you know what I'm saying? I was engaged in, like, you know, this and that, like, you know, it was happening, but I felt like it wasn't my life, that I was living somebody else's life instead of what was making me happy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I've always wanted to do this, and it's crazy that this has happened there in order for it to push me to work with the things that I wanted to. And so I kind of like didn't see it as a blessing, but it happened to be a blessing. You know what I'm saying? Now these plants have literally provided everything that I needed. You know what I'm saying? I can go outside and like sit down, meditate with them, and like pray with them and, like, you know, just put good intent towards what I want in life and manifest it into reality. And it literally gives it to me. You know what I'm saying? I could be worried about money one day. I could just pray to them real quick. And I know it sounds weird, but I could just meditate with them, pray with them, talk to them.
Doesn't sound weird to me.
And yeah, and the universe will just give it to me. Like, it gives me what I need. If I needed money for my car real quick to pay my car off, like, I happen to have somebody hit me up for a couple plants and that'll cover it right there. You know what I'm saying? I'm just right. Like, wow, like, it's universe does speak to you, plants speak to you, and they help you. Once you're closer to nature and you're in tune with nature more, you work with nature. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you connect to things, like, and yeah, it gives you what you ask for, you know?
Yeah, I identify with all of that you just said. I learned a lot about myself, and I think that it's helped me in becoming more mindful and, like, being present in the moment. You know, and like you said, like, nothing else matters when I'm caring for my plants, you know? And that's so beautiful that you found that at a time where you were hurting, you know? Yeah. And I had a similar experience too, where I was in a time of healing, and I think that they got me through that. And now I feel like I have, you know, at the very least, I have other purposes, but at the very least, aside from all of my other purposes, I know I have that. That is a duty that I have, that I've taken on by taking these plants. I have to care for them, you know? Yeah. So it gives me a reason to go outside at the very least every day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a morning ritual. Like, I wake up, I go outside, I greet the day, let my dogs out, go open up the greenhouses, and it's a beautiful thing. I mean, opening your greenhouse, just seeing everything in the light, just glowing, blooming, growing, it's like, wow, like, it makes you feel good. It could literally brighten up your day, right, as soon as you wake up. Like, it's really all you need, you know what I'm saying? Like, people don't see it. A lot of people, you know, that work with it will see it like that, because everybody gets, you know, attached to all of their plants, and, like, you know, it's a love that a lot of people won't get, you know, unless you're in it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like what somebody told me. I think it was Crazy for Cactus. He was telling me that somebody had a theory about people being able to be plant blind. So they're, like, going through life but not paying attention to those, to the natural world. You know, they're so engulfed in, and it's not to criticize them, you know, but they're so engulfed in the materialistic, you know, and the go, go, go. And
yeah,
I've always appreciated plants and loved plants, but not like I do now when I started building my collection with intention and realized what they did for me. When I've said this before on the podcast, and I'll say it again, like, even just driving down the street, me and my lady will be driving down the street and I'm pointing out every plant. You know, I'm like, look at that. You know, I see everything now, you know, and I want to know more about it. I want to know what kind of plant is that, even the trees, you know, it's just giving me a stronger connection than I'd like to think that I always felt a strong connection to nature, but something else clicked, something changed. I feel like I've grown spiritually, you know, mentally, emotionally, all of that. And the plants have a big part to do with that. I would like to ask you, do you feel more drawn? Because for me, I feel for some reason more, like, psychically drawn to the psychedelic plants more so than the other plants. And I don't know what that is, exactly, but I am.
Yeah. Well, it's because, I guess, you know, everything is energy. So you can sense their energy and you're actually drawn to them because not knowing why, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're just automatically drawn to these sacred plants, and that's because we are part of the sacred plants. Everything is one. Like, we are all everything in this universe, you know what I'm saying? So we're drawn to what we're drawn. We like what we like, you know what I'm saying? So if you know, if you resonate with something, like, you're gonna be drawn to that. You know what I'm saying? We're electromagnetic beings. We attract and repel, and, like, if you attract what you want, you know what I'm saying, in life. And yeah, it's the same thing for me. I've always been drawn to, you know, psychedelic plants, and it's because that's what I feel like. That's what we are. You know what I'm saying? We're just, yeah, it's a
sacred.
So it's pretty crazy. Yeah, it's really sacred. Like, we're spiritual beings. You know what I'm saying? So we connect to what's spiritual and what you know, other realms we're living in, like, you know, psychedelic, like, you know, spirit realm, like, it's, everything's just connected, you know what I'm saying? We just have to see it in different ways, and, like, it depends, it's all perspective on how you see things, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
So,
I think it's a divine...
it's just medicine.
It's a divine medicine, yes, and I think it's a divine connection. It speaks to, like, maybe the people that are more into this are much more interested in the other realms or the spiritual realms, you know what I mean? I'm drawn to that because I know that they are a gateway to that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I believe that the things that you have occur when you're, for lack of a better word, under the influence of these plants, this plant medicine, is the stuff that's already there, you know, but it taps you in to other aspects of reality that you normally can't see. So I don't think that you're tripping, you know?
Yeah.
I think that these are things that these plants were designed, and they've been used for thousands of years for that very reason, right?
Yeah. Our ancestors did it all the time. You know, they had their own ceremonies. Like, everybody, like, you know, there's, yeah, they've always been around, and I feel like it's like their planet here for us to get a view of what else is out there. You know what I'm saying? The other realms that we cannot access here because of, we're blinded by, you know, stress, money, jobs. You know, we're always busy. Like, so we don't have time to actually connect to nature and what our roots are. You know what I'm saying? We don't know who we are, and like, psychedelics really do help you. I believe, like, psychedelics can heal anything if you really wanted it to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes,
bad trauma, like past trauma, like, you know, just mental, anything, just, it can literally fix you. It just depends on how you do it, and, like, you know, you just have to really work with it and see it as medicine,
right?
You know, it's, I believe as well that it's just like we're trapped in, like, this mindset that we have to be working and, like, you know, material world, you know what I'm saying? We have to be working and doing this and that. So we're, it's like break a key to get out of this realm, you know what I'm saying? And, like, experience the higher level of consciousness that we don't get to do here because we're, all of these things weigh us down. So, I mean, you learn more when you go up this higher ascension, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you go higher and you experience things that you wouldn't normally experience here, and then you're more open-minded to life. You're more open-minded to seeing things differently in different perspectives, and, like, listening to people and, like, seeing other, hearing other opinions as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to be closed off. Like, everything's just, everything's a possibility. You can't just say everything's this and that. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that helped. I think psychedelics just open up your mind to a whole nother world that you wouldn't be able to get to just if you didn't have those. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you didn't have psychedelics, how would you be able to experience that kind of
Yeah, I agree with you completely. As early as my teens, I found a psychic change in my personality, my level of compassion, empathy, by experimenting with psychedelics. Even so much so that I was able to rid myself of certain prejudices that I might have gotten from being domesticated by society, strong opinions that I had, like you were just saying. I became more open-minded, more compassionate, more empathetic. And I had profound experiences. Maybe I was a little too young to be doing it.
Yeah.
But and it was something that I never found myself wanting to abuse. And it's something sacred. And I learned that quickly. And they'll teach you that very quickly if you don't go in with it with the right intentions, they'll
exactly
show you. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Because I always, like back in the day when I started, like just like how anybody, you know, you want to do it because it's fun and that, not knowing like that it's to a point, it's really real. You know what I'm saying? Like where I had to learn the hard way to, you know, I had to meet the elders to tell me, hey, like take it seriously. You know what I'm saying? Like this is real. This is as real as it gets. You know what I'm saying? Like, so eventually the more I got into it, like the more I experienced while going into these higher dimensions, you know, like you see things and you that build you into the man you're supposed to be, and like you take it as a medicine instead of like just a random party drug or something, you know, right, what I'm saying, to get high off. It's like So I mean, yeah, it's like it's a learning tool. You know what I'm saying? For the, you know, you learn everything there is about this planet, like about everything else that's out there, like all the possibilities. And yeah, like it truly is like a medicine for everything. I always suggest it to people. You know what I'm saying? I want them to try it, but it's just like over the years, you know, growing up, you hear bad things about psychedelics.
Right.
All this and that, they're making you go crazy, blah, blah, you're gonna kill yourself. But it's like, you just have to try for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I really dislike the word drugs. It's a
stigmatized
blanket term, and it goes all the way from Tylenol to, you know, prescription painkillers and benzos to psychedelic plant medicine, you know, and cannabis, which just certainly does not, a lot of those substances should not fit into that blanket term. And I had a thought I was going to say. There is science now. Thankfully, we're at a point in our development that you're starting to see like plants like iboga, ibogaine, you know, they have that available as medicine sessions with a doctor down in Mexico. Even in Newport Beach, California, if you're strung out on some kind of substance, you can go via Newport Beach through this treatment center. I don't know the name. They'll take you down there, and while you're detoxing, they give you the ibogaine. And there have been, I want to say, in the thousands of people that have overcame their addiction by doing ibogaine, DMT, mushrooms, and ayahuasca has been proven to help an ailment as serious and sometimes lifelong as addiction, let alone maybe spiritual illnesses that that we may have, or mental illness, you know, anxiety, depression, PTSD. I've experienced that with somebody that has had a lot of mental health issues and substance abuse issues, that psychedelics are a game changer.
Yes, because it's like a huge reset button. You know, the psychedelics are a huge reset button. Like, you can literally, like, I've known people as well that are like been in jail, had a hard, you know, like drug abuse, and like in and out of, you know, drug classes, you know, and rehab and all that stuff. But and yeah, like, they went down to Peru, down to Mexico, did an ayahuasca retreat, and came back looking way better, like 10 times better than they did before they left. You know what I'm saying? Like, grateful, new outlook in life, and now they're doing fine. They're doing great in life. Yeah. And it's just, that's the power of, you know what I'm saying? You need, sometimes you need to be shown that hard side of life so you can change. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just, it's all in you. Everything is, you are the, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you have the power to change it. Whatever you don't like, you have to change. You have the power to change it. Psychedelics help see that. You know?
Yes. Yeah. I see a Reiki healer, and she's like trained in three different shamanistic healing, whatever, traditions. And she told me that people that are like, you know, whether, I don't know if you believe in like star seeds or whatever, it's like spiritual beings of light, people that were put here on this earth for a purpose, to spread light, and healers are actually more susceptible, in her opinion, to things like addiction. And like, we either live our higher purpose, or we tend to fall into that darker. We're more susceptible to that dark side, you know? And that gave me some peace or understanding with my compassion towards myself, because I do feel like that, you know? I do feel like I had a higher purpose, but I didn't live it. And I got caught up in this, you know, very dark thing. And it's not to excuse it, but I agree with that 100%. And I also have seen some, without the influence of any plants, so I've had some experiences with Reiki, which is something I would really like to recommend to other people that are trying to heal or on a difficult path.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with my inner child. I talked to my ex-girlfriend that passed away. I had an out-of-body experience, and I experienced what could only be described as like angels talking to me during the session. and telling me you made it back. You made it back, Garrett. It was for the greater good. Now you can use your experience to help people. You're on the right path. Like, very reassuring voices. And it was strange, dude, because I went in expecting it to just be like a meditation, you know?
Yeah.
But what I found was a psychedelic experience. It was crazy.
I said, like, you have to experience these things because you might not know why it's happening to you, why you're going through it, but it always goes back and tells you, and you finally see it. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, that's why. So that, you know, in your case, yeah, you have to go through where you have to have a hard life so you can go back and help other people. You know what I'm
right, because you need that experience to be able to help somebody else that's going through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Those make, like, the
sometimes we don't know our purpose. A lot of people don't know their purpose here. You know, nobody knows their purpose here, but you know, when you're on the right path is when you're working with what you want to do. You know, you start attracting and you start, you know, helping other people, then you're on the right path. You know what I'm saying? Like, it might not be what you wanted to in the beginning, but I mean, it works out for the good, whether it's for you or for somebody else or to help other people. That's the universe of that. We really can't argue with that, you know?
Yeah. Do you identify with any particular spiritual practice?
I want to get more into that. I want to start working with more meditation, more crystal healing, you know, stuff like that. Like, I'm really like into all of those things. It's just I really don't have time with like my art and like with work and
I understand.
It's like, but I want to.
Yeah. And it can be costly unless you have somebody that you know that mm-hmm. cares for you, that's willing to, because people want to be paid for their services. That's cool. They incorporate crystals in like Tibetan bowls, and I've had some pretty profound experiences with like sound baths, gong meditation.
Yeah, those are really great.
Yeah, so you come out sound feeling baths are like so, a different person.
You know? Or like you can fly away, you're so light. You're just...
Rested. Yeah, you feel rested. Good.
Yeah.
And rejuvenated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always try to tell people, think it's woo-woo, you know, it's kind of out there. Yeah. And you're spacey, but these things are real. Like, I mean, there's too much evidence suggesting that it is, you know. I just encourage people to try it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's true, because there's some people you know at work or other places, like I'll talk to about crystals and like the properties of natural healing, like crystals and like sound baths and ensembles, and they're like, oh, that's just hippie, blah blah blah. And I could just go to a chiropractor. I'm like, well, I mean, you can, that's your choice, but it's just like, if you want the real healing, you know, here is it. But I mean, to each his own. You can't change anybody's mind.
You know,
all you can do is plant seeds.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I had an experience with the first time I always believed in the power of crystals and collected them, but then this is going to sound crazy, but whatever. I was on LSD one time and I was holding this selenite wand here to my forehead like this, like a fucking unicorn, right? And bro, I kid you
download.
Not. I kid you not. I felt like I had to like grab onto the ground beneath me. Because I felt like I was going to catapult into outer space. It was fucking crazy. And I was like, dude, I gave it to my friend. I was like, this thing's powerful. Get it away from me. Like, freaking out, man. You know?
I would have tried it too, man.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you're in that psychedelic state and you have crystal around you, like, it's energy. Everything is energy. So whether you saw that and didn't think it was real or not, it happened in another life, in another dimension, another realm.
Yeah.
It's just not here. I mean, you probably felt, I know you felt that energy, and the energy is real. You just seen it. You felt it. I mean, but you felt it, you know, it was real. Like, it's insane. Especially when during, like, you know, your sessions, like, it's pretty, anything can be real at that, in the session. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's jump into some cactus. Do you grow any? We'll talk about plants. Peter, do you grow any cannabis? I know you're a consumer of plant medicine cannabis.
No. I used to work at. I used to live in San Jose in the mountains of San Jose and between San Jose and Santa Cruz, and we used to grow for like a personal dispensary and like a few other dispensaries.
Mm.
From seed to cut down to like distribution, whatever, like sell it to different dispensaries, you know. Yeah, it was amazing. Like, I love working with weed, and like, you know, it's you create a bond with this plant. And the same thing with, you know, with any plant, from seed to cut down, you see it grow and you put your love and energy back into it. And yeah, at the end, it's like rewarding. You know what I'm saying? You get to, you know, finally taste it, you know, look at it. Like,
right.
It's amazing. And it makes other people happy. You know what I'm saying? When people see stuff like that, like, wow. Like, so your work is like, it feels good, you know?
Yeah, the fruits of
your
labor.
But I would like to get back into it. Yeah. I would like to get into it, but, I don't know. It's too much. I got too much going on.
Yeah.
One day, though, I mean, I know how. It's just, I, yeah.
Yeah.
And Texas, too, it's real, the laws are real crazy.
Sketchy.
Out here, so, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it depends where you're at, too. In my side of town, there's always people, like, I guess, snooping around or, like, living all drunks and, like, other people that are, like, just up to no good, running around. And they're just, like, I don't even want to bring that back there, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was an incredible experience growing up there. You were living out there?
Yeah.
Growing outdoors?
Indoor.
Indoor. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was fun. Wish I could do it again. Like, would love to work with it again. I mean, I don't know if it's actually legal here. I mean, I don't see it happening, but, I mean, there's always a possibility here.
Yeah. Well, there's something amazing about when you harvest the flower and, you know, you trim it up and it's ready, it's dried, and you trim it up and you have that and you look at it. I mean, there's something powerful, obviously the pungent smell, but, you know, I love weed, like just looking at it, you know, having it, especially in a large quantity and looking at it. Of course, the plant itself, when it's on the plant, that's a whole nother experience. But then the flowers, you know, something strange. I have a strange connection with cannabis as well, even though I don't consume it anymore. Well, I do in some way. I take CBD, but
yeah. Even just trimming, like the flower, just, you know, shaping it into the form that it's supposed to be, and, you know, trimming the leaves and everything, and then it's just like another bonding moment. Everything is a bonding moment, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's insane. It's just beautiful. Just seeing it just ready and ready to go. Like,
Talk about a state of mindfulness, trimming weed, you know, because you got to make sure you don't hack it, you know, and you're careful and you want to make it look right. And I loved doing that.
Yeah, it's tedious work and like time consuming.
Yes.
And there was one time where I think we trimmed for like 3 weeks straight, like day and night, from like 7-8 in the morning to like 2-3 in the morning, wake up, do it all over again, and just stop the breaks, eat. And the faster you do it, the faster you get it done. But I mean,
yeah,
it was bad.
Yeah, it's an art form in and of itself, trimming, and a skill set, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're fast, there's demand for it. You know, people will hire you if you're fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's for some reason, I was always told that, and I don't mean to make this sound like a, I don't know, stereotype, but I've always been told that women trim faster than men do. And, I would see that all the time. They would hire a bunch of girls. I don't know why. My lady's like really good at these like tedious little things. Like, she's a sewer and she works with her hands a lot. She's just really good at like detail things. And that's actually something I'm not really good with, like super detailed things.
Yeah.
It's a skill I don't have.
Yeah. I could see that. I did work with a couple of girls that were pretty fast, just because they've already been in that industry for a while. Mm-hmm. So like they would just go all around California, just wherever there was work, you know, just, and they would finish fast. I was like, dude, like, I still got this whole bucket in here.
Right.
That's pretty fun.
That's cool. What about cactus and succulents? So you have some, do you have a greenhouse?
Yeah, I have two, like I want to say they're like 6x6, but I mean, I'm trying to find or build like a really big greenhouse so I can just put everything in there. But over here in Texas, like, I guess the wood's been going up in price and it's like really expensive right now. Like, I guess everything's going back to normal or whatever. So everybody's getting work and everybody, you know, wood's in demand. It's pretty crazy out here. But if not, I was just going to look for like a big, you know, regular greenhouse that I could just buy like $300 or something online and fit everything in there for now until I actually get it going. But I don't know. I don't know what
house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
As a backup. Yeah, I just know that I know that you have quite a bit of plants. And what percentage of your plants did you lose in the freeze?
I want to say about 80% of them.
Holy shit!
And these greenhouses were full. Like, I have like an outside patio garden full of trichos, and I have two greenhouses that range from everything there is on the succulents to all kinds of effects on it. They were actually covered with a tarp, two tarps, and some of that, and like nothing. A lot of it couldn't be saved. And the only reason my trichos died as well because of the tarp that I held over it. The snow caved in, and so all the snow got in there and killed them all. So I got to save some of them, but they're really small, like cuts. But what I did save, I just let dry out and went from there, started over, repotted everything.
It's terrible, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, but yeah, like I said, everybody helped out. Like so many people, even like random people, just send me a bunch of seed, mellow cactus seeds, a different like San Pedro hybrid seeds. Like I even got like 40 Aerocarpus seeds that I kind of want to put down already. But wow. I'm not really big on sowing yet. Like I've tried it before, but I actually had a couple of lofts going already in the greenhouse, but it was kind of windy the day and rainy, and I guess the wind kind of hit it, and I like everything just like shifted, like fell. I'm like, wow. But I really want to get into it. It just I kind of just pay more attention to the ones I actually have and just watch their growth, you know.
Yeah. So was there a lesson in there in this loss that you found? Like, I don't know. Maybe you cherish them even more, if that's possible. I don't know what, like, is there a silver lining?
Because that's what I was trying to think about. I was like, well, why is this happening to me? Okay, right. Like, you don't, like, you know, it's, and so I kind of figured, well, I mean, maybe, because like I said, there was a time period where I was literally buying, like, spending maybe $100 or $200, like, every day that I went to a different nursery. Because there's so many nurseries out here, and, like, even from here to, like, maybe, like, 45 minutes from my house, it's like really good nurseries. So I usually like have a map, like on my maps, and it's like a list of all the nurseries. So I would go through every one of those nurseries, like all around San Antonio and outside San Antonio. Like I'll make it like a day trip to go all around there, and I would spend like $400-$500 a day on plants. And I think the universe was just like, whoa, you gotta chill, like you gotta save your money or something, you know. It was telling me something. But after the freeze is when we found out that my girl was pregnant, that she was having the baby.
Congrats.
So I was like, thank you. So I kind of took it as like, whoa, like save your money, you know, you're gonna have this blessing. But of course I didn't know that. So that's one way of thinking about it. So with this loss came like a greater, you know, thing, you know, a greater energy. And like, you know, it's insane. I'm still like not fully, you know, grasping the idea that I'm gonna be a dad, but it's just like, it's insane.
That's so beautiful, Marco. I'm so happy for you, man.
Thanks, man.
And you know, when these types of things do happen in our lives, if we go looking for it, you can find, you know, you can find a lesson and a maybe there is a reason. I do believe that some things are fate, you know, and other things are accidents. But you know, I mean, that's so cool that you were able to find that in there. And yeah, like, it makes total sense the way you just explained it. Do you know? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was gonna say, because things don't really like aren't coincidences. Things don't just happen because they have to happen. Like they have to happen like that, because whether we like it or not, because it shifts our direction in life to where we have to be. You know what I'm saying? Like we have to go through these hard things to go certain ways to make us stronger, to make us see different views in life, and like see it a different way. And like most people nowadays just want to be like mad about things, like they don't want to see the good or why it would be happening to them. So everyone's just like, like, you know, like, oh, this messed up, like I don't know why it's happening to me. Well, maybe it's you did something wrong, like maybe there's always a lesson, something. And so whether it was good or bad, I mean, it just happens to you because it has to happen to you, because you know, you need to get to where you got to go.
Yeah, that's something I learned recently in this healing journey I'm on now. It's to be grateful for all of it, you know, dark, good, bad, whatever it is, my mistakes, you know, things that I did,
embrace
things
it.
That happened.
It's part of you. You have to embrace it. I mean, it's what makes you. You're just take it and go. You can't do anything about it. You can't change the past. You can't look for the. You can't look forward for the future because there's only now. You know what I'm saying? This is the only moment we got. We can't do anything about the future. You know what I'm saying? We can't worry about what's going to happen because all you're going to do is let yourself down. Maybe set expectations or something. Mm. Like, just live in the moment. Like, it's easier said than done, but I mean, there's nothing we can do, you know? Just be in the now.
A great place to start would be planting, I think, you know?
Yeah.
So, I know you got some collector cacti over there, too. Do you have some? So, what would you say your favorite cactus is? Do you have one?
I don't know. That's kind of a hard question. But, I mean, I do like all varieties, all, like, kinds. I don't know.
What do you
I
have
do
the
like,
most of?
I have a couple of euphorbias, couple of lofts, loft varieties. I do like Trichocereus, obviously. But, I mean, I don't know. I really can't just pick one. It's pretty hard because it's like, yeah, I just can't choose. Like, it's you look at one and you're like, oh, well, look at this one. I mean, yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have a little bit of everything. Like, I just, yeah.
Yeah.
I do like Mirtillo, though. I do like, I think it might be one of my favorite, like, Mirtillo cactus or like a crested elite or something. Like, it's just anything that's blue, like, has that blue hue. Like,
right.
You know, just, oh, man, like, it just catches my eye and it just makes me want it, like, so bad. It's like, I don't know.
No, yeah, I relate to that, man. Something about the blue hue with cacti that, like, really draws me in. If you look at what I have, the majority I have of my plants have some kind of blue tint to them. I love when, like, a trico gets really blue, you know. I like Mirtillos, too. I don't have quite very many. I think I only have, like, one, but I would like to get some more. I saw a really beautiful crested one today. I know you have, like, that, what is that rainbow one called? That's crested. It's like rainbow color, kind of. It's a Mirtillo, but it's like multicolor. I told you. I want one of those.
That's the elite. Yeah. Yeah, I have that one there. It was like orange and blue and like green. I was like, wow, like it was crazy. That's when during the winter, I had them inside. I brought like most of my lofts I saved because I literally went out and bought a heat mat and a lamp to put them during the winter, put them inside in my room. And I have no room in my room, like, at all now. Like, I have all my artwork in there, all my, like, everything that I own is in there. So, yeah, like, I made a space for this little heat mat and, like, LED lamp and just put all my rare ones down there. Like, it's all my lofts, basically. Everything else, that's I just... But, I love Mirtillo. I had huge Mirtillo crests that were, like, 8 years old already. Mm. Like, huge, and, like, they had, like... they were amazing, and they just didn't make it. I saved a couple of cuts, but I mean, it's not the same, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
You know, you gave me my first love, I believe. Yes, you did.
Oh, nice.
We traded, and that was my first one. And now I have like, I don't know, four in one pot, and then I have like this one that's
and
like
you
a fry
car, you guys. Huh. So what did you get? That new fry car, right?
It's this, yeah, super white. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks so good.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Like, I'm very drawn to those plants.
Yeah.
Always have been. Even like as a kid, I would always research those and San Pedro's, and if I had to choose, like if I was only stuck with, you know, one type of plant, it'd be those two. If I was stuck with two types of plants, it would be those two for sure. And I'm trying.
Yeah, for sure.
Want to continue building that collection, but it's expensive. You know, it's an expensive habit.
Oh yeah, it is. How I said, like, like in those 3 weeks where I was going back and forth, like buying plants, I spent at least a couple of grand. Like, I don't know, it was insane. Where I was like, dude, I could have done something. I could have. Well, it's not like you could fly anywhere, or, like go anywhere at that time. You know, it was like the beginning of COVID or whatever. But it was insane. And I was like, well, I mean, I could be spending it on other things that aren't good for me. But I mean, at least I'm doing it on this, you know what I'm saying? I'm building what I've always wanted to do and work with, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't see it as a bad thing. I mean,
yeah. I tell myself the same thing. I tell myself the same thing all the time. But I am at a point where I need to chill on my own personal, because I sell, it's okay. Like, I can justify it as long as I, you know, I think I can actually get rid of it. But, you know, I've got a family and I got two kids depending on me. And I can get caught up into bad spending habits and stuff. So I've been trying to be more mindful about that lately. But I would like to hear about your artwork. Can you tell me about a little bit about your artwork? Where did that start? You have some amazing paintings, man.
Oh, thank you. Where it always started, I've always been into like other worlds, alien worlds, you know, aliens, portals. So I just paired them with psychedelics, and I would have these visions or like dreams or like trips or ideas during tripping. And like, I would either start them while I'm tripping or like write them down and go from there. But like, yeah, I've always felt like, you know, using your imagination, you can actually travel to like other places, you know what I'm saying? And that's a way of traveling, you know what I'm saying? Whether you see it like that or not, like, it's just, so I just always started like that. Like, but I started because, when I was younger, we were house to house. We didn't have any cables and that. So all I had was PBS, which is like where Bob Ross would come on.
Yeah.
So I would just sit there and watch Bob Ross. I remember just eating my fruit, watching Bob Ross, and you know, eventually that's how I learned how to do most like landscapes and stuff like that. But I've always been drawn to the desert and what the desert brings and how beautiful and deadly the desert can be, because it's like the best of both worlds. But it's like, and the things that happen in deserts and the plants you find in deserts, like everything about the desert is just intriguing.
I'm with you.
So yeah, I've always just loved desert as well, psychedelics painting. And then when, you know, I've always loved cactus as well. So I mean, it's just everything I love is incorporated in one.
Right.
So every painting is literally like a place I want to be at, or something I envision, or something that in another world, because it doesn't have, nothing has to make sense. Nothing, paintings don't have to make sense. So this could be, you could have anything in like a certain thing. So I just, you know, anything lives in those worlds. But yeah, like, it just, I'm trying to get back into that more. It's just, I've been slacking a lot, and I have a bunch of orders, like a bunch of pots I still got to like do, and paintings and stuff like that. But yeah, it's been raining like the last couple of days, but lately it's been like the last 2 days. It's been sunny. Got to get back on that. But it's been pretty fun. Like every painting, like I mean, I could do a painting in like a day or like in a couple hours if I really want to. But I kind of take a couple of days, because I don't want to force one idea on one thing, and then I kind of won't like it. Like, it feels forced. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So I just like to, it's insane.
That makes sense. It has to be at your own pace, and it has to feel right and natural. And I could totally understand. And that's why maybe some art that is sold on a mass level or created on a mass level can lose some of its like touch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some of the expression gets lost in it. And it sounds like you're expressing like your desires and your dreams and like manifesting it onto a canvas with your paint and your brush. And that's so cool.
I'm not really good at drawing or sketching, so like with pencil or pen or marker or whatever, but when it comes down to a paint and a brush, like I can create with no hesitation. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, I feel like I can paint better than draw better, but like, I mean, of course I sketch here and there, but it just depends on what I really want to do or what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling. The colors come into like play, like what colors I want to use, what colors mean to me, like it's just like, it's insane. So I have to get in that mode, you know, get my room, set everything up around me, like make sure I'm not going anywhere, I lock the door, turn my phone off, you know, airplane mode, you know, just have some music on, that's it. Like, because I hate that when I'm painting, like I'm always getting calls constantly, like so it kind of distracts me, so I just come shut out the world and get into that zone, you know.
That's beautiful. That's an escape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm always like, that's why I always either put portals or like a pyramid, or like, because in that world, like that portal that's in that painting, like I'm coming out through there, I'm showing you what that world is through that portal, or I'm showing you this pyramid, because that's me. Like pyramid symbolizes like the highest level of consciousness you can achieve in this plane. So that's what, that's me in that painting, like, you know, 3 points, mind, body, and soul. And that's what I put into my paintings, you know? So I always incorporate that. I always incorporate sacred medicine, which is a cactus, you know, San Pedro, like peyote, like what we belong to, you know, saying mushroom, like all of that, like, and then stars, you know, stargate symbols, like eyes, especially like eyes is what
I've seen a lot of eyes in your
work. Basically, yeah, like you basically live your life through your eyes, you know what I'm saying? So that's, and not only your eyes, but your third eye. So that single eye that you see is always going to be your third eye, like your pineal gland, your third eye, like what you see, your, the spiritual world, the way you see and what you, you know, take in, like spiritually, like you do it through your third eye.
Yeah.
And I just like to incorporate, so little things like that are incorporated in there, and that's everything that means to me, you know. It's, but yeah, like, and I, yeah, I've been wanting to do bigger paintings as well, like as big as me or as tall as me, but that should be coming out soon. Just bought one actually, so I'm excited to start that.
Yeah. But, you could be like a muralist. Have you ever stretched your own canvas? It's fun.
Oh, I've always wanted to.
It's really fun.
I have a couple of friends who do that, and I would like to get into that, but yeah.
Yeah. I was into painting when I was younger, but I fell out of it big time. I can't tell you the last time I painted, but I always liked graffiti, street art, those kinds of things as well. But I, on the final topic that I'd like to talk to you about is raving. I want to talk to you about dance music and dance culture. When did you start? When did dance culture come into your life?
I've always listened to it here and there growing up. And I went to a couple of shows here, but I didn't take it seriously. Like, I didn't get back into it until, I want to say 2010. I started getting back into it, and I was like 21, or I was over 21, and like I had never really gone out to the bars downtown or nothing like that. I had two friends finally take me to, you know, this downtown club, and like there was a DJ there, and he was playing, you know, old Tiesto, like old old school trance, It was, you know, it was that time era when everything was just, all these new genres just coming out. So yeah, like I was just like, wow, like, you know, Hardwell, all of them, like I was just like, wow, like I forgot about this, you know what I'm saying? And then finally, like, I ended up going to South by Southwest with a couple of friends in Austin, and it was one of Skrillex's first shows, and I didn't know that was Skrillex. I remember him from the band, from his band from First to Last, but my friends like, yeah, that's him up there. I was like, what? Like, that, after that, it was just like straight, like, from, yeah, since the start, like, I haven't stopped going to shows until this whole pandemic happened. But yeah, like
you got it in a little bit. Squeezing it in a little bit.
Yeah. So I just recently went to a festival like 2 weekends ago in close to Dallas, and man, like the energy, the love, that feel that you get into a festival of like interacting with people from all over the world, like that come to this festival, is just like, that's what I missed. You know what I'm saying? The connection, the being with people, the trading candy, you know, bracelets, like dancing till the fucking sun, you know, till the sun went down. And it was just amazing. Like, I just missed the music. I missed, and my favorite DJ was there. So it just made it even more fucking like perfect. So I was like, wow, like it was insane. It was something that I surely missed, but I think, before the pandemic, like I was doing it so much that again, like I felt like it was like a lesson, like, hey, like you're wasting all your money on all these festivals and tickets, like you kind of gotta chill, you know what I'm saying, see what's more important, you know. So yeah, like it's insane how that happens.
Yeah. And,
but yeah, like basically, yeah, just been raving since then, like non-stop. nonstop every weekend. Every, you know, here there's shows, like there was the club that had shows on Wednesdays, and then we would party Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we would go from here to Austin. I was doing like four shows a week. I was just like, I was just basically partying, going to work, partying, going to work. And then, yeah, like, so in a way I see it, I see why I had to stop with me for a little bit, you know, to cleanse me and like take me a different direction.
Yeah.
Show me what I really needed to be, you know, when you work with and stuff like that.
Yeah. In excess, it could be unhealthy for sure. I mean, unless, especially if you're engaging in, you know, medicines or, or substances. I started raving in like 06, and I used to spin hip hop. Like I grew up DJing hip hop vinyl. And when I found the rave scene, I was a kid and I was very drawn to the drum and bass, bass with the MCs. That was like the first thing that struck me. And, and then I started spinning drum and bass like jungle. And, you know, as a kid, I was in there spinning raves, like underground raves in the LA rave scene and warehouses and stuff, and going out to the desert and spinning in the desert for like multiple days on end too. Like Friday would turn into Monday, and I got carried away, but there was a time before I got carried away. I didn't get carried away until about my 20s, my early 20s. But in the early days, it was all about dancing. It was all about music. It was all about passion, connecting with people. And I would consider myself somebody that felt like an outcast, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Sure.
And, you know, I had some problems with, like, even being bullied, I felt like, and, you know, not fitting in. And that's kind of where drugs came in. But more so, what I found in the dance community was unconditional love and acceptance, no matter what walk of life you were from, you know, so many different types of people and different identities, whether that be sexual, gender, whatever, you know, people, club kids, like candy kids, all of that. And, you know, people that would probably get looked at funny walking down the street, you know, but just bonding and loving and cuddled up, and you know, it just the experience, man, and dancing,
it's a whole nother world, man.
It's a subculture, right? And
yeah,
that's where I found refuge as a teenager and into my 20s. I really felt the love and connection that I kind of feel similarly in the plant community. That community is very giving in the same way, but it can, you know, there's definitely a dark side as well. However, when things were going good, and I absolutely love that, and I'm so passionate about house music and techno. I love minimal techno. I love drum and bass. I like other kinds of bass music as well. And, you know, I still DJ from time to time. And, I'm just so stoked to meet somebody that we're cut from the same cloth, and we have so many similarities, you know, and I really appreciate you, man. I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's felt very natural. Like I don't have to try, and it's flowed really well.
Yeah, man, it was totally organic. It just happens.
You know, right. Like,
that's what happened. You know, we're energy. We're the same. We vibe off each other, and that's all that matters. It just goes from there. Takes a life on its own.
Yeah, man. I find the conversations that where I'm doing less planning to usually go better. You know?
Yeah.
Sure. But we covered every topic that I wanted to cover. And like you said, organically, you know, I hope we can do this again. I feel like we have a lot to talk about, man.
Oh, yeah. There's always so many other things we can talk about.
Right. Or we can even go deeper into some of these other topics. And also, Marco, we not only did we cover every topic I wanted to talk about today, but we also covered every topic that I wanted this podcast to be. Every single one of them, man. So thank you so much for participating in this project of mine. And, you know, I'm very grateful for you.
Thank you, man. I'm glad I could help out. I guess I'm ready to do it again.
We broke the ice.
Nice.
Yeah. And thank you for the plants that you've provided me as well, and the shirt and the stickers. Yeah, I appreciate all of that. Your stickers are on my water bottle. I have a water bottle somewhere, REI water bottle, and you got your stickers on there. Yeah. I have your pin on my members only jacket.
Nice. Yeah, I've been meaning to make more of all of those things. It's just I need to make more designs and yeah.
And tell me,
fun.
How
But I
do you
wanna
sell that? You sell that just via like word of mouth and Instagram, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I give usually just on Instagram. I don't really go anywhere else. You know, I don't really wanna be in anything else. I mean,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's other things out there, but I would like to start like my at least like an Etsy or like my own website or something. My friend's working on one for like our artwork and like his shirts. He makes my shirts and like he makes his own prints and all this other stuff. So we're trying to get that going soon. But yeah, I mean, it's coming soon.
Yeah.
But
And you sell plants too, here and there too, as well, right?
Yeah, here and there. Right now, I'm kind of just it's all personal, I guess, since I lost everything. I'm trying to just rebuild everything. But I mean, Triglycerides for sure, like, are gonna be enough of soon. Those are going well. Stretching, growing, new growth all every day.
Right. Isn't that what's so cool about Triglycerides? They fucking grow so fast, man.
So I have
fast
so many new
multiply.
Like pups.
Yeah.
It's like everything that everything's just busting open. And it's like it's just looking at it, I just start giggling. I'm like, dad, like there's another one. Like, oh no, just like it makes me so happy just going out there and just like seeing like something, you know, like busting open. I'm just like, oh yeah.
It's so weird. It's like breaking its way out
yeah,
of this fucking.
It's literally like, yeah, it's literally just pulling
fucking
itself
trip.
Out.
Like, well, I'm like, where did you come from in there? Like, how did you get here?
Yeah, I have a couple. Well, I'm pretty sure they're rats, but they took a couple bites out of like some of my trichos, and I'm like, well, good luck. So I mean, I mean, I don't know how it's
gonna
affect
be
them,
tripping.
But, yeah, I was like, I don't know how. It's, but they've been eating at the flowers, everything that I have so many astrophytums, so many things that are flowering, but they don't get to flower because they eat all the flowers, like they eat everything. They even bite into them. It sucks.
And I know you're not open to killing them.
No, so I'm trying to catch them and like take them down to like there's a trail, like a river trail down the street from my house, and just let them go. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. They're just hungry. They're just, you know, they're trying to live too.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that about you, man. And it's crazy because I feel like I've gotten to know you even before this, you know?
Yeah. I don't remember how we started. Like,
I'm not sure. I'm not really
talking.
Sure. I think
I asked
know.
You maybe about your – I asked you about your cuts or something.
Yeah, there was that. I think I had some cuts, but I believe originally I bought a cut from you. I have one of your Bolivian torches. And
oh, that's how
it
started. Yeah,
fucking gorgeous, dude. I love
that.
I love that
huge
green
piece too.
And it's like just there, it's flawless too. That piece is flawless, man.
Yeah.
And yeah,
that
it's got some
amazing
new growth. It's really beautiful. I'm super stoked on that piece, man.
Yeah,
I
that was a huge. That was a thick piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't wait till it gets big, man.
Dude, I know. Is it rooted yet? You
yeah,
know?
It's totally rooted for sure. It's got some new growth and stuff too. Yeah.
Dang, that's tight.
Yeah, I think that's the most concentrated, right? The Bolivian torch
is
like
Bolivian,
one of,
one of those. Yeah, it's really up there in the alkaloid levels. But yeah, I have a couple of hybrids that are like they're pretty good. The cuts that I got from you are like growing crazy. They're already flowering and like about to bust out soon, and they're pretty blue still. They're getting bigger too.
Yeah, I think once they're like nice and settled and rooted, then they start getting that color back, you know, because I have a bunch that are like just now starting to get their color back from last year. And yeah, man, there's something about those cuts. I really love them. And the flowers are beautiful. I got some big flowers right now that are going to open soon. I'm hoping to try to cross pollinate, but I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to try.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you again, Marco. I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. If everybody could please like, review, and subscribe to the podcast, that would be awesome. And hit that share button. I would really appreciate that. All right. Thank you, guys.